Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Warm welcome to Main Menu, a weekly look at technology from a blindness perspective, produced by and for ACB Radio Mainstream. Main Menu is also made available to radio reading information services around the world and is available on demand from www.acbradio.org/mainmenu.html. On the program this week, Michael Lang, a Main Menu regular, is back to demonstrate the DS2000E digital recorder. As a footnote to our series heard earlier in the year on getting started with streaming audio using the Shoutcast technology, Chris Skarstedt, another Main Menu regular, is back to extol the virtues of the SAM encoders. And finally, remember MS-DOS? Maybe some of you still use DOS from time to time. Don Ball certainly does, and Don's along a little bit later on to demonstrate DOS image. That's all coming up this week on Main Menu.
In this review, I will talk about a digital dictation recorder. There are actually two categories of digital voice recorders available these days. The first sort is for making short notes. These recorders are already quite popular with blind people. But it is not so easy to make longer recordings which require some editing with these machines. For instance, it is quite difficult to listen to the end of a recording with the digital recorders from Sony or Voiceit. Therefore, a couple of companies make recorders which are especially good when one wants to make longer dictations, in which errors have to be corrected, and into which one sometimes wants to make insertions when something was forgotten while the first version of the recording was made. The company with the best of these recorders, in my opinion, is Olympus. They manufacture such devices since the mid-90s. Their DS2000, which I will review today, is quite special for blind people because it provides a vast amount of beep tone feedback. For every key press, it emits a beep. There are quite a few different beep tones for errors, going backwards on the card, going forwards on the card, etc. While the DS2000 uses a menu system to adjust some settings, all the basic functions like overwrite, insert, append, or make a new recording can be executed without having to use the menu. There are also mechanical switches to adjust the microphone sensitivity and to switch the voice activator on and off. The DS2000 uses a smart media card to store its recordings. When one uses standard quality, one can record up to 2 hours with a supplied 16 megabyte smart media card. The recorder can handle cards up to 128 megabytes. There are 3 folders in which one can record. To make a new recording, one re-enters the folder into which one wants to record and then presses the record button. This would be totally unacceptable for a note-taking recorder, but for this machine, with which one appends to a recording much more often, then one creates a new recording, it is okay. So I will now press the folder button 3 times, which will change to all of the 3 folders. And at the end, it brought me back to the first folder. For every press of the folder button, there is a high beep tone. And now I press the record button. This is a new recording, and I will demonstrate how it sounds when one switches from record to record pause mode and back. I will now press the record button again to pause the recording. And whenever one does that, there are 2 tones, so one can easily recognize that the recording was paused. And when I want to resume the recording, I just press the record button again. And this time, it didn't give any beep tones. So when one resumes a recording, there are no beep tones. But whenever one pauses it again, these two tones can be heard. I have now resumed the recording and I will stop it. I have pressed the stop key. And now I am at the end of the recording. Unlike the note-taking recorders, the DS2000 does not go back to the beginning of the recording automatically when the stop key is pressed. This recorder works a bit like an analog tape recorder. So, if I would like to listen to the end of this recording, I can press the back button, then wait for a couple of seconds, and after that press the play key. I press back, and now I press play.
One pauses it again. I've now resumed the recording, and I will stop it.
So, that was the end of this recording. The back button rewinded the virtual tape, so to speak. And the longer one lets it do that, the more of the end of the recording one gets to hear. Very tapish. But since this is a digital recorder, there is of course a way to go back to the beginning of the recording quickly. First, I could have pressed the play key while I recorded the file. This would have stopped the recording. The DS2000 would have skipped to the beginning of the recording immediately and played it. But now it is too late for that. To go to the beginning of a recording quickly, one simply presses the back button twice. There was the high tone again, which indicated that the machine was rewinding. And when I pressed the back button a second time, there was a lower tone, which indicated that the DS2000 skipped to the beginning of the recording. And if I now press the play key,
this is a new recording, and I will demonstrate how it sounds when one switches from record to record pause mode and back. I will now press the record button again to pause the recording, and this time it didn't give any beep tones.
The recording is played from the beginning. If one presses the back button more than two times, the recorder jumps backwards from file to file. I press the back button, and these low tones indicate that one is at the beginning of a file. The same algorithm is used when one presses the forward button. I press the forward button. There is the high tone, and then there are lower tones, although not as low, as when one goes backwards. Now, I would like to audibly cue through a file. I will go to the end of the folder by pressing the forward button a couple of times. Now I will go to the beginning of the last file by pressing the back button two times. I will now play the file.
This is a new recording, and I will demonstrate.
And press and hold the forward button. So, one can also audibly fast forward, and this works exactly the same when one presses and holds the back button while a file is playing. To append to this file, I can just go to the end of it, listen to the last words I said, and then press the record key again. I press the forward button again. Now I am at the end of the recording. I press back and play.
The recording, and I will stop it.
Okay, that was the end of the recording. I now press the record button. This gets appended to the recording. I have pressed stop, and now I press the back button.
This gets appended.
Now I want to go back a bit more.
I pauses it again. I've now resumed the recording, and I will stop it. This gets appended to the recording.
So, those were the last words of the first recording and the newly appended stuff. Now I have enough of that file. I would like to delete it. But first, I would like to make sure that I am at the right file. I'll go back to the beginning of it and listen a bit.
This is a new recording.
Yeah, that's the one I would like to delete. And I will now press the delete button twice. If one does that while in stop mode, the file gets deleted. Very easy. I will now make a second new recording. I will press the folder button 3 times. And now I press the record button. 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I left out 3 numbers, which I will now insert. I will go back to the beginning of the recording by pressing the backward button 2 times. I will play the file.
1, 2, 3.
I have paused it by pressing the play key, and if I now press the record button, stuff gets inserted. It's really easy. The algorithm is that if one records from stop mode, the DS2000 overwrites, but if one does it from play pause mode, stuff gets inserted. I press the record button. 4, 5, 6. I press stop, and I will now go back to the beginning of the file by pressing the back button 2 times, and now it sounds like this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And now I would like to overwrite the 4, 5, 6 with its German equivalence. I go to the beginning of the file and play it.
1, 2, 3.
I have pressed the stop key, and when I press the record button while in stop mode, stuff gets overwritten. 4, 5, 6. I go back to the beginning of the file and play it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
So one can really overwrite in the middle of a recording, and the rest of the recording doesn't get chopped off, as is the case with many digital note-taking recorders. This, of course, also works when one wants to overwrite stuff which is at the end of a recording. So if I make a mistake, I can just go back a little and override it with a corrected version. This little machine really is a kind of small word processor for audio recordings. There are things missing which I'd like to have. For instance, one cannot partially erase in a file. This is possible with the DS3000, which is even more expensive than the DS2000. And the DS3000 doesn't give as much beep tone feedback as the 2000 does. I also had the chance to play with the DS330. This Olympus voice recorder is much smaller than the 2000 and the 3000 because it doesn't use smart media cards. It uses built-in memory, but the DS330 doesn't emit many beep tones either. So the DS2000 is really quite unique. In the DS2000 package is a software CD-ROM, which I couldn't install on my own. I had to ask somebody sighted for help. A program called DSS Player Lite was installed. DSS, Digital Speech Standard, is the audio format that DS2000 uses. With this program, one can play the recorded files from the DS2000 on a PC, and one can also save them as WAV files. As much as I know, DSS Player Lite is also downloadable via the Olympus website. The DS2000 uses the conventional smart media card format, so if one wants to use a USB multi-card reader on a PC, one can use every appropriate program like Explorer 4.ctc to transfer files. That's it from me for today. One last thing. I have a mailing list for voice recorders on the net. It's relatively quiet at the moment, 2 or 3 messages per month, but there already were quite interesting discussions on this list. And if you want to subscribe, you can send a message to voicerec-l-subscribe@freelists.org.
How you doing, everybody? It's me, Chris Skarstad, back here on Main Menu. One more time, it's good to be back. A few months ago, Jonathan Mosen did a pretty interesting little mini-series here on the show about broadcasting using the Shoutcast plugin for Winamp. And it's a pretty interesting little series. It takes you right from the start of broadcasting with only music and takes you right up to a professional broadcast, being able to talk over the music and everything like that. It's a great series. So if you are into broadcasting, you may want to listen to that. You might pick up some pointers you didn't get before. And if you're just starting out and you want to be into broadcasting, then that's a good series to try. And what I'm here to talk to you about today is a plugin that is sort of an alternative to the Shoutcast plugin. It's called the Sam Encoders plugin by SpatialAudio.com. It is not free. It will cost you $45 US to purchase it. And I think that after you see what it'll do, I think that it's a worthy price. This not only broadcasts in MP3, like your traditional broadcast, like ACB Radio Interactive and the one you're listening to right now on Main Menu and the other ACB Radio channels, but it also broadcasts in a newer sort of variant of MP3 called MP3 Pro. It's a little bit of bandwidth saving. The only problem with that is that you have to have a special plugin to use it, and the only thing that really I have a real problem with MP3 Pro is just that. It has to have a plugin, and the average user isn't going to want to install a plugin just to listen to a station. I mean, there are, of course, going to be people that will do it, but the average Joe is just going to want to click and listen. So without the plugin, it sounds pretty bad, but with the plugin, it sounds great. So so MP3 Pro does have a future, but they're going to have a way to implement MP3 Pro into the players such as Winamp, Windows Media Player, and Real Player, Real Run Player, and all that. So it's a technology that is good to watch for the future. So Sam Encoders does support MP3 and MP3 Pro, and it actually supports MP3 in two different ways. You can actually use it with the Lame Encoder, which has a rather bad sound at lower bit rates, but it sounds great at higher ones. So if you're doing a 128K stereo broadcast on a cable connection, or maybe even something faster than that, it's going to sound really nice. But on a lower bitrate stream, it doesn't sound very good. This newer version that I have also supports the legacy MP3 encoder, which is very much like that of the Shoutcast plugin, and it sounds a little bit better at lower bitrates, so you have your choice there. This thing also supports Windows Media 9, so if you have a Windows Media server that you can broadcast to, you can use that. Or if you're really into this, you can broadcast using OGVorbis, which I have had no experience with whatsoever. I know about OGVorbis and I know what it is, but I just have never used it to broadcast using OGVorbis. So if you want to know more about OGVorbis, you can check back in the ACB Radio Main Menu Archives. Jeff Shang speaks a little bit about it, and it's a pretty cool file format. But it supports this. So this plugin I'm going to show you supports all these. It supports MP3, MP3 Pro, Windows Media 9, and OGVorbis. So lots of formats to look at if you're into broadcasting. So how does it work? Well, it's pretty accessible in some ways, and it's not so accessible in other ways. You really do have to be good with your screen reader's review cursor for this. I'm hoping that maybe at some point that the guys at Spatial Audio can come up with a different version that's a little bit more standard as far as the windows go, because when you bring up this plugin, it's very much like the Shoutcast plugin, as you'll see. Another window pops up, and it's a list box of the available plugins. Unfortunately, JAWS does not view the list box for choosing the encoders like a list box. It doesn't speak on when you first see it. You have to use your JAWS cursor to really explore it, and you have to click the OK button using the JAWS cursor as well. WindowEyes users, you will have a very similar experience, although WindowEyes 4.5 SP1 that I have here will read the window for choosing the encoders just fine. You just arrow up and down the list, and then you just have to use your mouse to click the OK button once you have the encoder chosen that you want to use. So it's a little bit easier to use with WindowEyes 4.5. I'm going to be using JAWS 5.0 with this review here because it's what I know best. So we're going to be showing you how to add an encoder to the list. And then actually, I'm not going to connect to any kind of server because it's pretty much, you'll know how to do it once I show you. It's pretty straightforward, so we'll do that now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to switch over to my Eloquence synthesizer because I use a DeckTalk Express here, and it's not easy to hear because I don't want you guys to have to struggle to hear this. And I do hopefully have the speech slow enough you guys can understand this. So what we'll do now is we'll switch over to JAWS here.
Menus.
There we go. All right, so now we have our Eloquence chosen here.
Desktop, folder view, list view, Winamp, 45 of 46.
All right, and by the way, I should tell you that I'm using Windows XP Home Edition for this, with a Sound Blaster Audigy card for this review, too. So we have Winamp on the desktop here, using the classic view, by the way. We'll press Enter on the Winamp icon and start this up, and then I'll show you how to get to the same encoders. This is, by the way, a DSP effect plugin, and it's a pretty standard install, and once you register it, getting your code in there is pretty simple too. There are going to be edit boxes you'll have to use, and only certain parts of each the code's going to be pretty long. So once you paste the code into that box there, there are going to be different edit boxes, and each one will have a bit of the code in there. So all you have to do is press the register button with your JAWS cursor once again, or your review cursor if using WindowEyes, and you can register it. It's pretty straightforward. So we'll launch Winamp here and show you how this works.
Enter. Winamp 2.95.
Yep, I'm using Winamp 2.95 for this. There is currently a Winamp 5 RC8 beta out there, but I haven't gotten it yet. We're going to be using that for this. So we're going to be using Winamp 2.95 for this. So there we go. So in order to get to the plugin, we'll have to go to the Preferences with Control plus P.
Winamp Preferences Dialog 313 View DSP / Effect 4 of 5 None.
And it just happens that I'm in the DSP / Effect area here, just out of necessity, because I always like to have this ready. So
close DSP / Effect plugin list box, none, 1 of 5.
All right, it says none, 1 of 5. So now, what I'm going to do is, because I have a number of plugins here that start with S, I'm going to, just so I can choose the one I want, I'm going to use my JAWS cursor to locate these SAM encoders, and then another window is going to pop up.
JAWS.
So the JAWS cursor is now loaded.
Winamp preference close set DS plug group dash and group file type left audi pro left DL option SAM encoders.
All right, SAM encoders. So now that's selected. So I'm going to root PC to JAWS, and
None.
The window is going to pop up now.
PC to JAWS. OSC encoders, list view, 0 items, SAM encoders by spatial audio, DSP encoders.dll.
All right, so now it says 0 items. So that means that we have no codecs selected for this. We need to have one selected. So, and we do this via the context menu key, which is two keys to the left of the left arrow on a standard Windows keyboard. So we're going to use that now.
Applications menu active.
So now we have a applications key that is used. So now we have a menu here. So we know new, which is insert.
Config unavailable. Enter
config,
unavailable.
Which is it's so you can configure your plugin that you've chosen. I'm going to be using the word plugin and encoder interchangeably here because they're basically the same thing for this demonstration. So if you are confused by the two terms, I hope that it will work for you just fine. So I'm just going to show you this context menu here. So we'll move on.
Delete unavailable. Del unavailable.
This is so you can delete the current plugin. If it is not suiting your needs, or you just want to reconfigure it, you can start from scratch. So there we go.
Start unavailable. F9 unavailable.
So start is how you can start your broadcast. So you just go to the context menu there, and you press enter on start. And you will, if you have your server info entered there properly, you can connect to your server and start broadcasting. There is a problem with this plugin that I will get to later on after I explain this. And it can become quite annoying, but there is a fix for it. And you'll get what I mean later on. So, okay, we'll keep going here.
Stop unavailable. F10 unavailable.
So this is stop. So you can stop your broadcast and you can disconnect from the server. All right, so that's pretty straightforward there.
Start all unavailable. Control
start
F9
all.
A.
Start all. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting Eloquence here. Start all means that if you have multiple plugins or encoders selected at once, like let's say you're going to do a broadcast using MP3 Pro, MP3 and Windows Media, for the exact same broadcast using different formats, you can start all of them at once, which is pretty neat. No other plugin I know of does this. And if there is one out there, I want to know about it so I can try it out myself. So we're going to arrow down and again.
Stop all unavailable. Control plus F10. O.
So stop all. Makes pretty much sense there.
Select source submenu E.
Select source. Now this will allow you to use either the audio pipeline, which is just broadcasting the MP3s themselves, or your sound card, whichever one you want to use. Now, when I do my broadcast on ACB Radio Interactive, any other broadcast I do, I like to use my sound card because it lets me crossfade using the SQR crossfader and any other output plugins I have for using that. And it also helps me with compression, too, so I like to use that. You can check that out there. It's
select source.
So you can select source, and you can choose either your audio pipeline or your sound card. And if you have multiple sound cards, you can choose which one you want to use there, too. So you can go into that menu and choose which one you want there. So we're going to arrow down once again.
Hide H.
Hide. This actually will hide the window. I would not do this if I were you because it may be difficult to get back to. So I would keep the window pretty much where it is so you can get to it if you need to.
Enter registration key R.
So enter registration key, like I mentioned before, there's going to be a series of edit boxes, and if you just... when you buy the product, you're going to get an email with your registration key, and you can just paste it in there, and there's going to be a series of edit boxes, and you just have to find the word register in the dialog box there, and root your cursors together, and with luck, you should be registered there, and it will tell you if you are. So that's pretty cool there. So now that we've seen the actual menu there, let's add a plugin. Now this is going to be the interesting part.
Hide eight.
So now let's go back down to new.
And new ends.
All right. So now I'm going to press enter on new, and you're not going to hear anything. So we'll press enter on this.
Enter. Leaving menus. Select plugin.
So it says select plugin, as it likes to say. So we have a list of available codecs or plugins here, and the only way we're ever going to be able to find out what this is if we use the review cursor. So right now, none of them are selected. So now we need to arrow down once. And if I use my JAWS cursor.
JAWS.
So now this one is selected here.
Options.
This is.
SAM display basement visual DS shuffle video library CD ripping plug dash in and out visual DS gen purpose scroll VF minus num for lang select loot close in name call MP3 and MP3 Pro version colon.
MP3 and MP3 Pro. This is actually the lame encoder that will handle both formats. And how you can choose MP3 Pro is you can go into, when you go into the configuration screens, you can choose the type of bitrate and sampling rate you can use, and it is actually in there. If you are familiar with the Shoutcast plugin, and you are familiar with choosing your bitrate and your sampling rate, MP3 Pro will be in there, and you can choose that, and it will be in there. So right now we are selected with, right now we have the MP3 and MP3 Pro encoder there. So next in the list,
description, PC.
Is next in the list is, we're arrowing down. I just arrowed down. You didn't hear it, but I arrowed down here.
O symbol, name colon, WMA, left paren V9, advanced right paren, version 3.1.0.
So this is WMA9, Windows Media Audio 9. And if you have a Windows Media Server available to you, you can use this. And if you know how to configure it, you can connect to that and broadcast in Windows Media 9. Very nice. So arrowing down once again gives us
close symbol name colon legacy MP3 left paren ACM.
So legacy MP3 ACM.
PC.
That's one I use, and that's also the one that Shoutcast uses. So if you want to use exactly the same one that Shoutcast uses, you can do that. Actually, I should qualify this. When I say Shoutcast uses it, I mean the earlier versions of Shoutcast. I'm talking versions 1.80 and below. 1.82 uses the lame encoder. However, if you are using like a broadcast on ACB Radio Interactive or another one, you are most likely going to be using an earlier version. And if you are using a later version, that's certainly okay. Your broadcast may not sound quite as good, but it's certainly all right, and it certainly serves its purpose. So that is what the earlier versions of Shoutcast use. So just to let you know,
PC.
I had to make a distinction there. So now we arrow down one more time, and
close symbol name cog left paren vorbis right paren version colon 1.3.0.
So this is Ogg Vorbis 1.3.0. As I say, I have not had any experience using Ogg Vorbis for streaming. I have heard Ogg Vorbis broadcasts, and they're quite good. You can, if you know how to do that, you can set that up. So now, I'm going to select the legacy MP3 encoder here. So I just arrowed up, and it's kind of freaky. With JAWS, you have to arrow up to the plugin you want to select, and then in order to select it, you have to press the space bar, and then to make it selected. I don't know why this is, but I found this out through trial and error. So we'll press the space bar.
Space.
All right, and now it's selected. So now, in order to get to the configuration screen, we'll have to go
close symbol
over to the OK button.
So 2.5.0.
I'm actually just using my JAWS cursor to
M and Q the install AC codec. This version will use N and MP codec to do the actual encoding copy of Spatial Audio Solutions, LLC-2000 OK.
All right, so now we are on the OK button. I have tried to find a way to get to this faster. I attempted to use my mouse buttons, but it didn't work very well. So this is the only way that I know of personally to get to the OK button. If there is a faster way, please let me know. I would like to know a faster way to do this. But right now we are on the OK button. So now I'm going to root PC to JAWS on this, and we're going to get the configuration screen for this.
PC to JAWS, MP3 codec encoder and streamer configuration converter tab.
So now we are on a series of tabs, or property sheets, as WindowEyes users may say. So now, I'll show you these. I won't go into a lot about them. It's pretty straightforward if you understand Shoutcast. And I don't want to take up too much time with this. But we have the converter tab. And then pressing the right arrow gives us
server details tab.
Server details. This is where you enter your server info, the IP address and port number for your server, and of course the password, and the name of your station, and all the other relevant information. So you can enter all that in there, and you can get on the air. So next we have
Stream Archive tab.
Stream Archive tab. This allows you to archive your stream. This is sort of kind of interesting because I have had situations where the box will be checked, but no archive will be created. So you actually need to go in there and you have to actually type a path where you want the stream archive to be located, such as, you know, something like /c:\archives/shows, something like that. And then the name of the file will be stream.mp3, and it'll give a date after that. It'll tack a date onto it, so you can find out when your actual broadcast was. So keep that in mind. You'll need to just enter that information into that box. So
stream archive tab.
So now I'll briefly show you the converter tab. There are just a couple of things that may confuse you in there. So
converter tab.
I just arrowed to the left a couple of times.
Choose format button.
All right. So now we are at the choose format button. So this will allow you to choose your type of bit rate and sampling rate. So now we'll show you this, and I can this is where if you were using the other encoder I mentioned, the Lame encoder, this is where the MP3 Pro stuff comes into play.
Space. Choose encoding format dialog. Name combo box untitled 1-4.
So now you want to use untitled. That's basically how Shoutcast is too. You want to choose untitled.
Save as .. button alt s. Format combo box MP3 1-2 alt f.
So you want to use MP3, and then there is also
MPEG layer 3.
MPEG layer 3, which are essentially the same. I'm not quite sure why there's two of them. But I will always choose the second one just because I like to arrow down, and it's just something I do. So.
Attributes, combo box, 8K bits / S, 8000HZ, mono 0KB / SEC, 1 of 70.
So there's 70 items in this combo box, and this is where you would find the MP3 Pro if you were using the Lame encoder. So hope this makes a little bit more sense now. So I'm going to arrow down to one of them that I would use typically on ACB Radio Interactive. I'm going to be using 56 kbps, 22,050 hertz stereo. So I'm arrowing down here. Alright, let's
196 2 1 1 40 4 60 56 kbps / S 22,050 hz stereo 6 kb/sec.
That's the one we want. So now we have it chosen.
OK button.
Then we have OK.
Enter MP3 codec encoder and streamer configuration. Choose format button.
So now we have decided that we're going to broadcast at 56 kbps, 22,050 hertz stereo.
Auto start encoder after checkbox not checked.
Auto start encoder. This allows you to auto start the encoder once you are connected. But I don't have this checked because I like to choose when I'm going to start, because you don't want to start the encoder just when you launch the thing. You may get an error. Like if you're using this on a cooperative station, you don't want to get an error right when you start it up. So I would leave this box unchecked. But if you're going to be using your own station, then you might want to leave this box checked. So we have it unchecked for now.
General options edit 5.
So after 5 seconds, you can have it start after 5 seconds.
Auto reconnect encoder after checkbox checked.
Auto reconnect. You may want to use this in case something happens. You may lose your stream at some point, and you don't want anybody to lose your stream. That would not be good. So you can keep this checked if you want. And
general options edit 15.
And after 15 seconds, it will auto reconnect. It'll try again. So
allow scripts and stream checkbox checked.
Allow scripts and stream. This is more for Windows Media stuff. Although now I guess some MP3 Pro and MP3 streams do have scripts in them, so that you can be taken to web pages and such. I have not a lot of experience with this.
Allow automatic data streaming data for embedded player checkbox not checked.
So automatic data for embedded streams. You can do that if yours supports this. Pretty cool.
Edit. Bum number and duration equals number. Duration number and byte equals number. Byte number and website equals number. Website number and MMSS equals number. MMSS number.
That is the information that you can enter yourself if you have an embedded information for your stream there. You can enter that box there.
Converter tab.
So now we're back at the tab. As you can tell, the OK button is not accessible via the tab key. So now we'll go over to
Server Details tab.
Server Details, well, that pretty much explains itself. Like I told you before, just enter the IP address and port number of your server that you're broadcasting to, and the name of your stream and all that good stuff.
Stream Archive tab.
And Stream Archive.
Stream Archive.
I just basically mentioned that before too. So I'm going to show you how to get back to this. So now we'll basically what we're going to do.
MP3 codec encoder.
So we want to press the OK button to show that we have chosen our bitrate and sampling right here. So we need to press the OK button.
Close history console. So cancel OK.
All right. So now we have the OK button.
PC the JAWS. FOSC encoders. 1 MP356KB/S22KHZ Title encoder not started MP356KB/S.
So, as you can tell, it will tell you the number of the bitrate and all that, and it will say 22K hertz stereo. The only problem with this is that it's very chatty. If you have the window open, it will keep repeating that. I don't know if this does with window eyes as much as it does with JAWS. If you are good and you can open up your context menu quick enough, you can keep it from chattering like that. If we're going to connect to a stream, I don't have any information for a stream in there, you would use the context menu key.
Applications, C, 1, MPS, start.
So you would just arrow down to start and press enter on start if you have the information in there. For some odd reason, it is quite chatty if you have the window open itself, and the way I get around that is I use the Windows key plus M combination, and I minimize all apps to the desktop so that the window is actually there, but it's not getting in the way. So it will kind of rest on the taskbar while I'm broadcasting, and if I need to do anything with it, I can bring it up, and it can do any work on it that I need to, and hopefully it's not so chatty that it messes you up. But and I know it is it's kind of a weird combination and a weird way of doing things, but this is a very versatile plugin and allows you to do a lot of different things. So with all these different formats, you can do a lot with this. And as I said, it's not cheap though. It's $45, but for all it does, it's pretty good. And it runs as a demo for quite a long time. You can broadcast up to 4 hours without having a nag screen show up. And by the way, this does include if you actually have the window open. I learned that the hard way. I was broadcasting one night and I had it open for more than 4 hours, and I lost my stream early, so you may want to keep that in mind too. So if you register it though, you get free upgrades, and then you get to broadcast for an unlimited amount of time too. So works for me, and hopefully it'll work for you too. So it's kind of clumsy in its accessibility, but if you know what you're doing with your screen reader, you can get it to work very well. Hopefully you guys can find this of interest, you can give this a try. And if you haven't gotten Shoutcast to work for you, I wasn't able to get Shoutcast to work for me on my Windows XP machine here. It kept kind of hanging on me. I would disconnect from a server, and my machine would lock up on me. It wouldn't exactly lock up exactly. It would just sort of hang there, and I couldn't do much except if I had to. I had to reboot. So it was kind of a bad thing. I had to find an alternative to Shoutcast, and this pretty much does it for me. So it works very well as far as broadcasting goes. And again, on accessibility, fairly accessible if you know what you're doing, so keep that in mind. This is available for a trial and a possible purchase. You can get this at www.spatialaudio.com. That's www.spacialaudio.com. They have a Winamp plugins link there. You can go. And they have a couple other ones. And they have a couple other products you may be interested in if you're interested in streaming. Check that out. Once again, That is www.spatialaudio.com. And so hope that interests you guys. So that's it for the review. I hope you found this useful. And if you have any questions or comments about it, if you want to get a hold of me in any way, shape, or form about it, give me some suggestions as to how I can improve it, or if you just want to say you liked it, you can get a hold of me. Or even if you didn't like it, that's okay too. You can get a hold of me at tonehead@acbradio.org. That's T-O-O-N-H-E-A-D at acbradio.org. So once again, I hope you liked the review. For ACB Radio's Main Menu, this is Chris Skarstedt. See you soon.
For ACB Radio, this is Don Ball with a review on an MS-DOS program. For those of you who haven't heard your ASAP screen reader and all of the DOS prompts and things associated with DOS for a while, you're going to get a bit nostalgic with this program I'm going to be reviewing today. The program is called DOS Image and can be found at www.bootitboting.com. That's www.bootitboting.com, which stands for Boot It Next Generation. This company has three main software packages. One is called Boot It Next Generation, I think, which includes everything and runs around $50 or so in price. And this is a partition maker, multi-boot type program that will allow you to set multi-booting partitions and I guess have NTFS partitions and that sort of thing. But the two programs we're going to be mainly concerned with, actually one is WinImage. And WinImage will allow you to make an image of a drive in Windows and back up that hard drive. The main program that I'm going to be focusing on is DOS Image. DOS Image will take your entire hard drive and back it up either to an alternative hard drive or to a CDRW drive if you have your ASPI or your SCSI drivers installed. It will look for that drive and allow you to build a multi-disk copy of your hard drive. Now, there are other imaging programs out there. There's Ghost and a lot of other programs, so you're probably wondering why I'm going out of the way to demonstrate this program. This program, the reason I'm going to be focusing on it is that it is menu-driven. You can go through the program with your DOS screen reader and it will ask you, you know, which drive do you want to back up? Where do you want to put the files? Whether those files would be on CD-ROM or an alternative hard drive. What size files do you want to create? Whether you want to create a 2 gigabyte file or whether you want to create one that's 700 megabytes long for CD, 80-minute CD, or whether you want to create one that's 648 megabytes long for a 74-minute disk. You can set up all of these options by menu. Now, there is a command line structure for this program, and you can go through that. And to me, the command line structure makes a lot more sense than the command line structure for Norton Ghost, but I never used it. Conceivably, you could run this program, create your image, and exit it all with command line options. But that's not why I'm going to purchase this program. And that's exactly what I'm going to show you during the course of this report. Now, I'm going to go ahead and turn my system on and get everything fired up here. And yes, we will be booting to DOS. I have everything ready to do what I want to do. And the machine will be up in just a minute. The company is called Terabyte Unlimited. And again, their website is http://www.bootitng.com. And we have some floppy action. I want to stress again, the reason I'm reviewing this program today is the fact that it is menu driven. And that's the reason I'm going to purchase this software. It is $19.95 from Terabyte Unlimited. You can get WinImage, if you want to try the program, and if you're using Windows 98, you can get it, and it includes DOSImage for around $25 or so.
DeckTalk Express is connected, running version 4.2c. Perfect, Paul, a colon bank raider.
Unlocked.
And I would love to see some folks design some command line batch files for this program. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Now I'm going to go to my other floppy. This program will fit on a boot disk, by the way. I'm using a Windows 98 boot disk. I have it on a second floppy, but you really don't need to. It's a small program. I'm going to run the program. It's called image.exe.
IMAGE.
And I'm going to set granularity with ASAP. Those of you who have used it understand
Next
what I'm talking
answer.
About.
Option 9. Granularity set. This program is to be used for evaluation purposes only. To purchase a full use license, visit terabyteinc.com. Press enter to continue.
Terabyte Inc.
Create image.
Now, there are other options here, but when you set the granularity up, all you get is the one option. So it's right on the highlighted item.
Restore image. Create image.
These are the only two options.
Hard drive 0. Hard drive 1. 0.
It's letting you know that you have two hard drives there, and it wants to know which one you want to back up. I want to back up 0.
No name 0, partition 0, 119,469 MB FAT 32.
It's telling me it's a 20 gigabyte partition. It doesn't have a volume label. It's telling me all about my C drive there.
File.
Now, here's another set of menu options. You can either back up to file.
CD.
Or CD.
File.
I'm going to choose file.
File name colon.
And you have to include the drive in the path. When you are going to send an image over to a drive, it has to be included. If you're on this boot disk right now and you just type a name without a path, it will send it to the floppy and you'll get an error, of course. And we just type in the file name.
D colon back at P B A C K U P 2 GB.
This is where you select your file size.
648 MB. 698 MB.
Again, no graphics or GUI or anything to confuse the issue.
Do you want to validate the image after it is created? YN? Y?
Yes.
Byte for byte comparison YN? Y?
Yes.
Image 1.40.
And the image is being created. I don't know if the status is echoed or not, but we can check the status in just a minute with the review cursor in ASAP. I'm going to break away from this image creation process and lead you through the restore process. I'm not going to restore it, but we are going to go through the restore process so that you can see kind of what that looks like. Let me check status and see if this is moving on here.
Top blank. To purchase a foot blank. Image 1.40. Imaging in process. Blank. Progress 4. Progress 4.
Progress is 4%.
Progress 4.
And we'll make sure that's going to change here in just a second.
Progress 5.
And it is changing, and I will come back in just a minute and we'll go through the restore process. Okay, we finished the process. And this is the screen that you get. You always get the license at the top.
Next, this program is to be used for evaluation purposes only. To purchase a full use license, visit terabyteinc.com. Image 1.40. The process has completed successfully. Progress 100. Copyright C1996 2003 Terabyte Unlimited. All rights reserved. Insert. The colon bank raider.
And it takes you back to the A prompt. Now we'll go back into image again and look at the restore process.
IMAGE. Create image. Restore image.
We're going to go to restore image this time.
File.
File, yes.
Backup. IMG 512.11.22.23.5:41.
And I thought it was going to give us a very complicated process, but we're right here at the file that we want. But let's look at it with the arrow keys and look at the different drives and what's available.
C colon. D colon. E colon. F colon. C colon. Backup. C. Backup. IMG 512.11.22.23.5:41.
And it apparently looked at all the drives and found an IMG. The IMG is the extension that it saves. And it apparently looked for all IMG files. And I thought I had more, but it is showing the XP backup IMG that I made. So it can be that simple, but let's go down and look at the D drive.
D colon. Display left or greater 708215:08.
And it looks just like an MS-DOS screen of the DIR command. It's showing everything that's there and it's displayed it. And we just have to air down through it and look at it and confirm it.
LT left or greater 708. Music left or greater. Mimusy 1 left or. Backup. IMG 2,147,000,000.
And there we have the XP backup.
36/11/22/23.6:23.
Now it seems easy with me doing it now, but believe me, the first time I did that, I was trying to hit the backspace to tree out of this directory. And trying to hit other error keys to open a tree of directories, so had a little bit of a Windows learning curve or DOS learning curve going on there. And that's how you do it. You just select the image, and I think it asks you questions about confirming the image. I'm going to take a chance on that.
Backup. IMG 2 built. Hard drive 0.
And it's asking if we want to restore it to hard drive 0, which is what we want to do.
No name 0, partition 0119469 MP FAT 32. Are you sure you want to continue with the restore YN?
And we don't, because I have a fully functioning copy of Windows on my system, and I'm totally happy with it, and I'm not going to change it. So, no.
And. No name 0, partition 019, hard drive 0, file, restore image, D colon back greater.
And that's going to wrap it up for this review. Again, you can find this program at www.bootitng.com, and the price of the program is $19.95. If you need any help with this program or you would like to contact me, my email address is dball10@bellsouth.net. And thank you for listening.
And thank you for listening. On behalf of all the Main Menu team, this is Dave Williams, saying until next time, bye for now.